This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
And I'm Yis Wuhib. Coming up on Africa News Tonight,
a dry spell in parts of southern Malawi has rekindled accusations of witchcraft and bouts of mob violence. Authorities have been quick to condemn the attacks and dispel the accusations as a hoax.
That's Lamek Masina reporting from Malawi. Full details on the story coming up.
Also, hundreds of protesters marched in Kenya's capital today to demand greater diversity in President Uhuru Kenyatta's cabinet picks. And South African opposition parties are calling on the ruling ANC to move quickly to decide the fate of President Jacob Zuma.
We'll have these stories and lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight.
Our top story, hundreds of protesters marched in Kenya's capital today to demand greater diversity in President Uhuru Kenyatta's cabinet picks. Activists are calling on Parliament to reject the nominees and Kenyatta to nominate more women, youth, and members of marginalized groups. Royal Ambor reports for VOA from Nairobi.
The protesters carried signs that read, "Recall the list," as they march to Parliament in Nairobi. They are demanding that the recently re-elected President Uhuru Kenyatta revise his list of cabinet nominees to make it more inclusive. 6 of the 21 nominees on the current list are women. No youth, defined as people between ages 18 and 35, were nominated. Activists say only one person with a disability has been nominated. Sabeti Mboga, a disabled mother of three, joined the march. I am here to protest because the government does not recognize us. We also want to be involved in the process of governance like anybody else. The protesters say Kenyatta is seeking to reward ruling party loyalists. Mercy Jelimo is a leadership and governance officer at the Center for Rights Education and Awareness.
Today we are going to Parliament. This is our form of presentation of our memorandum to the Committee on Appointments. As they vet the cabinet nominees, we are there to express our dissatisfaction with the list.
In early January, Kenyatta came under fire from gender activists for announcing a partial list of nominees that included no women. He released a full list on January 26th. The president has not responded to criticism of his cabinet picks. The issue is re-emerging amid a tense political climate. Kenyatta's government is drawing criticism for its arrest of three people who took part in the mock presidential inauguration of opposition leader Raila Odinga on January 30th and for its temporary shutdown of three TV stations that tried to cover the event. The Interior Minister said the government acted to prevent violence. Rights groups say authorities are trampling on the constitution and defying court orders. Jimmy Eddy, a member of Team Courage, a local activist group, marched Thursday with other demonstrators.
We have seen the media being under siege of lately. We have also seen arrest of various people, including deportation. How do you deport your child from your house?
Odinga rejected the results of the October presidential runoff election, which he boycotted, and has called for a fresh vote in August. One of the three opposition figures arrested over the swearing-in ceremony arrived in Canada Thursday after being deported, according to local media. Miguna Miguna is a leader of Odinga's National Resistance Movement. In a statement, the Interior Ministry said Miguna's Kenyan citizenship has been revoked. Rael Ombor for VOA News, Nairobi.
South African opposition parties are calling on the ruling African National Congress to move quickly to decide the fate of President Jacob Zuma. Some opposition parties say they might call on their supporters to take to the streets in coming days if Zuma does not leave office. The ANC has been trying to persuade Zuma to resign and allow Deputy President Cyril Ramaphosa to replace him. Zuma is in the last year of his presidency. He has become increasingly unpopular because of a series of corruption scandals and the weak economy. Ramaphosa has said transition talks with Zuma are progressing, but the party has given few details. Parliament postponed Zuma's State of the Nation speech, which had been scheduled for tonight.
Factional cracks are growing in Zimbabwe's main opposition party, the Movement for Democratic Change. Members are arguing over who is the acting president, while party leader Morgan Tsvangirai undergoes cancer treatment in South Africa. Reporter Kudzai Zvinavashi has the report.
It's been over a month since Morgan Tsvangirai left for medical treatment in South Africa. This is the longest he has gone for medical care. Thursday, Tsvangirai spokesperson Luke Tamborinyoka tried to tamp down rising concerns.
Well, is Mr. Tsvangirai likely to be back? We expect him soon. That is all I can say at the moment. He's unwell, but we expect him home soon.
Tsvangirai founded the party in opposition to Robert Mugabe, who led the nation for 37 years. The military forced Mugabe out late last year, but his ZANU-PF party continues to run the government under President Emmerson Mnangagwa. Wednesday, Tamborinyoka said Tsvangirai wanted Vice President Nelson Chamisa to serve as MDC acting president until he returns. Chamisa takes over from another vice president, Elias Mutsuri, who has been acting president since Tsvangirai left early last month. Tamborinyoka says there is no need for debate over the announcement.
There has been needless flow over my statement communicating President Tsvangirai's position. That Vice President Honorable Nelson Chamisa is now the acting president.
However, the stage has been set for a battle within the party after the MDC national spokesperson, Obet Gutu, contradicted Tamborinyoka.
Let me speak to you as the official spokesperson of the MDCT. I am authoritatively instructed and advised to advise the world that the acting president of the MDCT remains Honorable Elias Mutsuri.
Gutu says Mutsuri himself will set the record straight on Friday when he is back in the country. However, Tamborinyoka says the appointment of acting presidents had been arranged earlier.
It must be noted that in September of 2017, President Tsvangirai left an MDC Alliance workshop in Kadoma and went for treatment in South Africa. He left VP Kupe as acting president and we communicated the same. On the 5th of January 2018, the president appointed Vice President Honorable Engineer Elias Mutsuri as acting president. And again, I communicated the same to everyone and there was no halabaloo. On the 7th of February 2018, he appointed Honorable Chamisa as acting president. There's been a pattern about these appointments. Because as of now, all the three of his deputies have acted in his absence.
Some Zimbabwe political analysts note that the country's politics have been characterized by factionalism driven by self-interest. As a result, they say the MDC will not be able to win national elections later this year unless they resolve their dispute soon. For VOA, this is Kudzai Zvinavashe from Harare.
South Sudan is now cholera-free. The government's announcement comes after the country experienced the longest and widest outbreak in its history. It lasted 18 months and affected some 20,000 people. Nabil Biagio has more from Juba.
World Health Organization and Health Minister officials called a news conference in Juba yesterday to announce the end of the cholera outbreak, which has plagued the country since mid-2016. South Sudan Health Minister Riak Gaykok says the outbreak began in Juba.
The first case was reported in El Sabah Children's Hospital on the 18th of June 2016, and it spread to over 26 counties across the country, and it continued also for a complete year until the 18th of December last year.
Cox says, for the last 7 weeks, not a single case of cholera has been reported in South Sudan. But he says that does not mean people should become complacent.
We should draw some lessons that might have been the root causes of the previous outbreak.
The minister says ending the cholera outbreak came about as a result of an effective response by the World Health Organization, UNICEF, the United States Agency for International Development, the Global Alliance for Vaccines and Immunization, and other agencies who worked together to prevent further spread of the disease. Evans Majani-Liosi, WHO's country representative in South Sudan, says this latest outbreak was the worst the country had seen, causing more than 400 deaths.
This has been one of the longest and the largest outbreak that started in 2016 at the peak of the conflict. But with the strong leadership and guidance by the Ministry of Health, we've been able to interrupt the current transmission.
Liosi says the outbreak dragged on for nearly 18 months because of the fighting that flared up in July 2016, catching health workers off guard.
At that time, fighting was going on and everybody was hiding. This was in July of 2016. So it was very difficult for the patient to go to the health facility or for the health worker to be in the health facility. People were moving to any direction, and those who were infected continued to move with this disease.
Liosi says at the time, many health workers working with non-governmental organizations were evacuated from conflict areas, which only exacerbated the cholera outbreak. Liosi says WHO is working with the Minister of Health to enact measures that sustain the gains they have achieved and prevent further outbreaks of cholera.
Cholera is a disease that comes as a result of drinking contaminated water and poor sanitation. And these are issues that we have put down, and we are going to work with other partners to ensure that we are able to overcome. I think moving forward, WHO will continue to provide technical support to the Minister of Health and other partners, and we will also continue to deploy rapid teams to areas that we suspect could be causing a problem.
WHO and health minister officials advise the public to use only clean, safe drinking water and to use water that's been treated with chlorine or has been boiled for washing dishes, and to always wash both hands with soap and water after using the latrine and before handling and eating food. Health officials also advise the public against defecating near or in any source of water. They also urge people to cook their food well and wash fruits and vegetables thoroughly. Despite announcing an end to the outbreak, Health Minister Kok advises citizens to report all suspected cholera cases to the National Outbreak Hotline 1144. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Juba.
A dry spell in parts of southern Malawi has rekindled accusations of witchcraft and bouts of mob violence. Authorities have been quick to condemn the attacks and dispel the accusations as a hoax. Lamek Messina reports from the Falambe district.
January 29, 2018 is a day that will be hard for Ida Wison to forget. She is the resident of Tambula village in Malawi's southern Falambe district. She says we were about to take our supper when we saw a mob of armed young men approaching my house. She says she feared for her life and immediately ran into the bush. From there, she says she saw the mob set fire to several houses. Wison is among 8 villagers targeted that day over accusations that they were withholding rains through magic. Police say there have been similar rumors circulating in other parts of the district, but no other violence. The villagers say the area has been without rain since December. Crops have wilted, raising fears of hunger. A mob ransacked the home of a 76-year-old traditional leader, Jameson Maiden. He says, I am surprised with the accusations because my maize garden has wilted because of the drought. He says, how could I withhold the rains and leave myself with nothing to eat? The latest figures from the Ministry of Agriculture show that more than 700,000 farmers are expected to lose 40% of their harvest this year because of low rainfall. Farmers are advised to plant early maturing varieties should the rains come. Police say they have arrested 6 people in connection with the attacks as the hunt continues for others who fled to neighboring Mozambique. Spokesperson for Palombe Police Station, Innocent Moses, told VOA their preliminary investigations reveal the violence is related to unresolved chieftaincy wrangles. He says members of the community are taking advantage of the drought and local superstitions. Palombe is the same district that saw 7 people killed by angry mobs last year over rumors of alleged vampires attacking residents. The village of Ntambula bears the same name as its group headman. He spoke to VOA. He says there were no blood suckers then, and there is no one who is withholding rains now. He says these are just tricks used to steal other people's property. Meanwhile, the director of Meteorological Department in Malawi, Jola Munkokwe, explains the reason for the drought.
Because the high pressure system has been sitting over the region, southern Africa, including southern part of Malawi, and that has been preventing any development of clouds.
He told VOA that the high pressure system has begun to dissipate, and as a result, some affected areas have already started receiving rains. Lamek Masina for VOA News, Palombe, Malawi.
The Director General of the World Health Organization, Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, says he is establishing what he calls a health reserve army to tackle emergencies and newly emerging diseases. Lisa Schlan reports from WHO headquarters in Geneva.
Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus says he has been spending the past 7 months working on a strategic plan to reform and improve the World Health Organization. The WHO chief says a major focus of this plan is on implementing swifter, more effective emergency response measures. Tedros notes this year marks the 100th anniversary of the Spanish flu, which killed up to 100 million people, far more than were killed during World War I. He says the world remains extremely vulnerable to potential pandemics and newly emerging diseases, and it must be prepared to respond to them quickly. He tells VOA it is crucial to work with countries on prevention in tackling these looming threats.
If anything happens, no country can do it alone, so we need to have a health reserve force, or if you like, health reserve army, in different locations, so countries who are better off can help other countries.
What he envisions, Tedros says, is the commitment of 50 countries that will have thousands of trained health workers on hand, ready to respond rapidly to medical emergencies wherever they occur. Tedros says he expects countries to cover their own expenses and help those that are unable to do so. Tedros, a former Ethiopian health minister and the first African to head the WHO, took office on July 1st. Back in October, he appointed then-Zimbabwean President Robert Mugabe as a WHO goodwill ambassador. This move sparked an international outcry and nearly derailed Tedros's nascent administration. Mugabe had faced U.S. sanctions over his government's human rights abuses. The appointment was quickly rescinded. The WHO chief says the appointment was made in good faith, but he acknowledges the impact it had on the organization and voices regret. Tedros adds it is time to put the controversy behind him, however, and get on with the urgent health issues at hand. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Just days after the announcement that the 4,400-year-old tomb of a high-ranking priestess had been found in Egypt, comes word of an even older discovery in the country from about 100 million years ago. Faith Lapidus tells us about the new species of dinosaur found in the western Egyptian desert.
During the late Mesozoic period, this long-necked grazer wandered through what was then a coastal jungle. That's not what it was in 2013, when Dr. Hasham Salam and his team of graduate students began surveying the area.
So I told them to spread out so we can cover as much space as possible. and we found one of the team members started calling her colleagues, saying, "I found a lot of bones." She even called me on the phone because I was about 2 kilometers away from her, and she told me, "Doctor, there are a lot of bones. Come and see them." So I went, and I saw that it was a partial skeleton of a dinosaur. That, for us, was a very big thing.
The team carefully excavated the jawbones, leg bones, and other fossils and brought them to Mansoor University's Vertebrate Paleontology Center. The partial skeleton suggests the dinosaur's anatomy was similar to European giants of the same period, which counters theories that African dinosaurs were completely isolated during the late Mesozoic. Researchers hope more finds wait under the sand.
We know that for sure that these dinosaurs, of course, have something that eats them. As in any ecosystem, if we went to the jungle, we will find a lion and a giraffe. So we found the giraffe. Where's the lion? That is what we are going to look for now.
The giraffe has been named Mansoorosaurus shahine, after the team's university and one of the paleontology department's founders. I'm Faith Lapidus, VOA News.
All coral reefs go through bleaching episodes, and these episodes of drought or extreme heat can hurt even the healthiest of reefs. But climate change means more heat more often, and new research is showing the world's reefs do not have time to recover. VOA's Kevin Enoch reports.
The past 2 years have been tough on Australia's Great Barrier Reef. Drought and extreme heat have led to extensive coral bleaching and coral disease. These events have happened to reefs throughout history. But in a new study, British researchers say climate change is causing these extreme events so often the world's reefs cannot recover.
Once they started occurring at a regional scale around the early 1980s, they were hitting a given location roughly once every 25 years. Whereas by 2016, the frequency of these bleaching events had shortened to once every 6 years.
That is exactly what climate models predict. Small rises in average temperature lead to a world where extreme temperatures become routine.
But what's happening now is that because the background temperatures are so warm, smaller and smaller anomalies are causing bleaching. And even warm summers outside of El Niños are causing coral bleaching, which is why we're seeing the frequency of these events shortening.
The real problem is the loss of the world's coral reef has extended consequences beyond just the loss of what have been called the rainforests of the ocean.
Well, coral reefs cover less than 0.1% of the ocean surface, and yet they house about a third of all marine biodiversity. So anyone who cares about extinction, who cares about biodiversity, needs to be concerned about the future of coral reefs. They also provide the food security and livelihoods to hundreds of millions of people throughout the tropics.
The world's average temperature has already risen 1 degree Celsius, and the researchers are urging more aggressive actions like those called for in the Paris Climate Accords. Kevin Enix, VOA News.
And that wraps up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehi Suhib in Washington.
And I'm Kim Lewis. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. And thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
Suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
Hello, sports fans. This is Sonny Young of the Sunny Side of Sports.
I love Sunny Side of Sports.
Please join us for a whole half hour of sports talk and news Monday through Friday at 1630 and 1830 UTC GMT. On the internet, you can like me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, and read my blog. Visit voaafrica.com and enjoy the show.